Sweet. How are you guys doing? Yeah? Yeah? Have you, I mean, that's it. That's all I get. I'm gone for several weeks. Get back. And, hey, there we go. Okay. There, show me some love. I don't think I'd ever say that up here before. Anyways. All right. Here we are. Hey, this is, it's incredible to be back here. I love Montana. New Zealand is pretty cool. Tahiti, it's a good place to stop, and but this is, you guys are all complaining about the weather. I don't understand. It's gorgeous. Woke up this morning, 4 inches of fresh snow out there. That's just beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I came out of 85 degree weather in Tahiti, and so it was refreshing. You guys are about ready to throw stones at me. Okay, all right. Let's get into this, and we'll go to Lord in prayer and dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for who you are and what you've done and the joy that you put in our heart and the purpose that you give us. And Father, all the incredible things that you've done for us, to be honest, there's not enough words for it. And so, Father, we want to show you our gratitude and our love and our worship. And Lord, I just ask that today as we dig into your word that you would help us to have your eyes and your perspective. That you'd help us to grasp and understand through the Spirit what it is that we need to hold on to and the things that we need to let go of. That, Father God, you are constantly renewing us and building us and shaping us. And you tell us in your scripture that our destiny is to be like your Son. And so, Father, help us in that journey. Help us as we embark on that. And Father, I just praise you for those that are here. I praise you for the hearts of the people that are here. I praise you that you've given me a heart for them and they for me. And Father, it's good to be home. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are getting into the Passion Week, obviously, Palm Sunday today. And I want to look at Palm Sunday a little different. Obviously, doing Palm Sunday, coming in with the triumphant entry and all that other stuff. But there's several things in that last week that Christ says to his disciples. And I want to focus on one of them that kind of pulls us towards Easter and the reality of what happens with Easter. And so go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're looking over here in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, we get this story here. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but mere human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone gain in exchange for their soul?" Now, growing up and reading these verses and always thinking about, okay, I got to carry my cross, you know. You guys ever remember or seen some of those pictures of guys literally carrying crosses, you know, across the beach or up through the mountains or whatever, you know, and they're like literally carrying this cross, this picture. And I just remember growing up, you know, I grew up in a family that was very male dominating, and I kind of liked these verses because they were always kind of challenging. You know, it's kind of like beat the body, it's like run the race, it's like it's that challenge, that risk, and so you get this challenge that comes before Christ of deny yourself to carry your cross. And to be honest, I think for a lot of times in my life, I have actually looked at this verse the wrong way. Because when you first look at these verses and when you first grasp them, there is this element of harsh discipline, this element of pain, this element of total sacrifice that must take place. And granted, when we think about Christ and his cross, that is exactly what happened, is it not? I mean, especially as we talk about this week, as we're getting into the Passion Week, and we get into this element of Christ's death and his crucifixion, and that is not a pretty picture. And the brutality that he goes through, even getting there, the being whipped and the thorn of crowns on his head. There's so many things that come along with the picture of what's happened to Christ. Now, when we look at it, it is really easy for us to go, okay, I got to carry my cross. But there's something else that happens in the midst of these verses. I want you to look at verse 23 by itself. It says, Jesus turned to Peter, said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but mere human concerns." In other words, there's two perspectives going on here. There's two ways of looking at this thing. There is the concerns of what God has in mind and what he wants to happen, and then there's the concerns of human, this reality of what we perceive and how we want to do things. I've thrown this guy at you several times. There's no bad weather, just bad clothing. Yeah, some of you guys are going to get mad at me now. This has been one of the longest winters ever. But you know what's really kind of wild about it? Is I think ever since I've adapted that saying into my life, the winters really don't bother me. This has been a long winter, but it's not a big deal. Summer's coming. There's a place to have joy in the midst of it. It has been a long winter. There is no doubt about that. But sometimes our perspectives is what changes our attitudes. And the way that we look at things and perceive things often is very different than how God would have us to look and perceive at things. I want you to turn over with me here as we kind of begin to unpackage this a little bit to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world," okay, in other words, this, if you think about it, there's Christianity and then there's a whole lot of other religions. Those religions are built off of these spiritual elemental forces of this world, the spiritual realm around us that would twist and taint God's message to give people some kind of hope if they will try harder. Give them some kind of hope if they could just try to make sense of the world. And so that's what religions do, is it tries to give us a perspective of how we make sense of the chaos. Christianity is different. It's an actual relationship with God, our Creator, through Christ Jesus. And it's based on totally different things than any other religion because it's not about what we do, it's about what he's done. It's not about our efforts. It's not about my goodness. It's not about how many times I can chant something or how many times I can pray something or how long I can meditate or how much knowledge I can gain or how good I am. It's none of that. It's based solely on his grace and our acceptance to take that and hold on to it in our hearts. And so here it is. Paul says, "Since you have given away to all those things, as though you still..." Okay, he says, "Why then do you still belong to the world? Do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are rules which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use and are based on human, mere human commands and teachings. Such religious..." "Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining essential indulgences. In other words, we have all these things: do not handle, do not touch, do not taste. If you are going to be good, then this is what you got to do and accomplish. If you're going to achieve enlightenment, then you have to get to the stage and you have to do all these things to achieve it. And so you reach out to get those things. But the reality is that it doesn't change your actual heart issue. It doesn't actually change the area inside your heart that you still struggle with sin and the areas that you still battle with depression. It doesn't change those things. It gives you this appearance of wisdom, like, if I could just do this, if I could just achieve this, so I could just understand this, then maybe I would have hope and maybe I could get to that place where I would be enlightened and I could figure it out. And so it gives this appearance of wisdom. But the reality is it doesn't change anything. It doesn't make us any better. It doesn't actually stop the struggles that we have inside our hearts. So there's this place that when we hear to carry the cross, that we often go to this mindset of, okay, this is harsh spiritual discipline that I need to put on myself to carry my cross, to be good enough, to finally achieve it, to be like Christ in the sense that I need to do all these things that would be painful in order to really be his disciple. And what we're doing in many of those contexts is actually stepping back into what Paul's talking about here in Colossians, about us stepping back into rules and regulations, about mere human teachings that has this appearance that it's going to change us, and it doesn't. We are still the same people with the same struggles, the same issues, the same heartaches, the same pains, same insecurities, the same struggles with sin, and we fight with him. Jesus said some other words to us too. John 10:10, this is an awesome verse to memorize. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to its full. To have life and have it more abundantly. I love that version. I love that version. Just saying, to have life and have it more abundantly. Now, what is life? Human perspective is, as well, maybe it's achievement, maybe it's, you know, wealth, maybe it's fame, maybe it's whatever I desire. That's not life. That's not what Christ is talking about. Life and life more abundantly. If you get down to the root of really what we want inside of us, is we want to be known, we want to be loved, we want to have hope, we want to have purpose, we want to have honor. We want to have dignity. We want to be able to live a life of value. When Christ says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly, is the exact opposite of what the devil wants to do. Because the devil and his schemes and all that he does and the way that he works in this world, he has gathered around all these different individuals to create these human ideas about how you can have hope or purpose or peace. And it all has to deal with your efforts, your ability, your strength, your dedication. And you can see where it's really easy when Christ says, hey, if you really want to be my disciple, you have to carry your cross. And we instantly, in our mindset, with a human perspective, go, okay, so that means there's things that I have to do that are painful and that are harsh and that are I got to do these things in order to achieve it. Because that's what the world's religions are based off of, and that's naturally what we go to. Because part of our sin nature comes from the garden, where if we just take of this apple, you'll become like God. Part of our sin nature is trying to become God, trying to become in control, trying to be able to dictate our future, our destiny, trying to manage it all. I got news for you guys. We're not in control of anything. We're not in control of anything. We have the illusion that sometimes we are. But the reality is we are not. We arrange our life in so many different ways in order for us to have comfort because we don't like discomfort. We arrange our life in so many different ways where it's like, well, just so that we won't experience tragedy. That's why we have credit cards and insurance. And I mean, how much money do we spend on insurance nowadays? It's just ridiculous. And it's all in case something might happen. Tell me if that's not a control issue. That somebody out there was smart enough to be able to figure out how to make money off of us on it. You know? It's a weird thing. This is a natural part of our human nature, our sin nature, to be honest, that we seek to try to control these things. We seek to try to do these things. We seek to try to better ourselves through our efforts because that's becoming like God in reality, that we're in control. But here's Christ. He says, carry a cross, but at the same time, he says, but I came to give you life and life more abundantly. He says, I want you to take my yoke upon you. Anybody who is heavy laden, in other words, if you've been going through life and you're wore out, I want you to take mine on you because it's light and easy. That doesn't sound like a cross. It sounds very different. So we got this perspective that's happening and think about life and the joy, the peace, the purpose, the family, the hope, the faith, all these things that God wants to pour into our life. And then we get somebody like this. Good old Paul. Paul over here in chapter 2 in Galatians, verse 20, he writes this. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith and the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So Paul comes to a place and says, here it is. Listen, if it's rules and regulations, and we could achieve it that way, then Christ really messed up. Because he didn't need to die. We just needed to figure it out. See, Christ died for us because the rules and regulations never, ever made it work for anybody. Salvation will never come by it. There is no hope in the rules and regulations. It is the grace of God. And that's what Paul says. I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is the righteousness that comes through it. But I love what he says about the beginning of it. I have been crucified with Christ. He's carried his cross. I am crucified with Christ. And the life that he now lives, he lives in Christ who loves him. This is what I'm getting at. There is a human perspective and then there is a godly perspective. And I think quite often what I've done in the past is I've looked at carrying the cross is, okay, here it is. I need to step in. I need to be more disciplined. I need to do all these things. This is going to be painful. This is going to hurt. But I got to do this stuff. Here it goes. And I think that's almost a human perspective. It's like, is it bad weather or bad clothing? In all honesty, is it bad weather or bad clothing? It's the way we look at it. I'll give you some examples. Some things that Christ turns around on us. How about tithing? This came up recently. Somebody brought it to my mention. You said, you talk about tithing and sacrifice and how it is painful. It is. In a human perspective, tithing is painful. In a human perspective, you look at it and you go, here it is. A tithe means 10%. I look at my budget and I go, okay, I'm going to take 10% of my money and give it away. I'll live off the rest. If you've never done that before, when you first do that, it is a sacrifice. It is like, all right, I'll do it because I'm supposed to do it. Oh, God blesses me. Maybe I should go buy a lotto ticket now. You know what I mean? And we play those mental games. How's he going to do this? I don't know how he's going to do this. But I'm going to give it away, and it's painful. But that's a human perspective. Because those that have given into it and begin to tithe and begin to see God's the way he works and does things, what happens is tithing becomes an opportunity. It does. It becomes an opportunity. How do I get to bless? And instead of the sacrifice and pain, it is opportunity and receiving blessing. And it's so sweet. You get to the place, to be honest, is you can continue to give away. And I would challenge you, man, if you've been like, no, I give, and I've been giving a long time and a lot of it, but you know, it's just kind of routine now, give more. I challenge you, give more. You don't have to give here. It'd be nice if you give it here, but you don't have to give it here. Just give more. Go as God would lead you. Increase in your generosity. I would challenge you in that, because there is something to the fact of being able to say, you know what? It was really cool to be able to help out that organization or that ministry or that individual that was doing this, or be able to step in and bless somebody and know that God actually gave you the resources to be able to do that. And then to be able to sit back and begin to walk through the years of how God has always taken care of you. See, we think we have to take care of ourselves. And when we finally turn it over to God's perspective, God, you're the one in control. You're the one that takes care of the bills. You're the one that knows my future. You know what's going to happen. And I'm just going to be obedient. And I get all of a sudden this joy of walking in obedience, of giving and being a blessing and seeing lives changed and people, you know, receiving the love of God, because all of a sudden their needs are met. And yet all the time, God is going, I got you. I got you. How about to serve? Sometimes when we look at serving, it's like self-demoting. I show up, do the grunt labor, you know, get dirty. Goodness sakes, last trail crew we had, they stuck me underneath a building with a bunch of insulation. The only joy that I had in it down there was Graham was with me, but and Josiah, and we were, no, well, yeah, it was, no, it wasn't Josiah. No. Was it Josiah? All right. No, we had somebody else join us.
It wasn't me.
LJ joined us, but LJ's a teenager. He doesn't know better, so there it is. Okay, I'm getting old. So anyways, it's self-demoting, you know? You look at it and you get into these things where to be honest, it's humbling. To go down and help out at, you know, with the homeless, or to go to help somebody that's in need, it's very humbling. It's self-demoting. And it's a sacrifice of time, and you go, "Oh, okay." To be able to serve in children's, or to be able to serve, you know, in different areas of the church, or just to serve other people can seem from a human perspective where it's like, oh, yeah, maybe I should do that. But until you're obedient in it and see it through Christ's eyes. When you're obedient in it and see it through Christ's eyes, actually it becomes very empowering. And it becomes very gratifying. It's kind of crazy how you can crawl underneath in the dirt and mud with insulation falling on you and actually have a great time. And it's like, no, this is really cool. I get to help somebody else out. This is really cool because there's no way that old gentleman is going to climb underneath the building and do this. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's the perspective changes. Trials. We have trials in our life. We're going to face trials. There's no way we're going to get around trials. Trials are part of life. They're everywhere. But when we enter them with a human perspective, it seems like chaos. It seems like this insanity that's going on around us, where there's insecurity, and it always leads to heartache. So it's like, man, here's this trial, and this really stinks because it's out of control. And it hurts. It's painful. This happened. They said this about me, or this is going on, and it ended up this way, and it hurts. And trials are, oh. You look at it through God's eyes, and it's different because all of a sudden trials become opportunity. They become opportunity to see your faith grow, your character change. It's opportunities to be able to see something new in yourself and your own insecurities and weaknesses. It's an opportunity to be able to learn beyond any other circumstances that you would learn those things. And it always comes out on the other side as joy. That's why James said, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Because he was looking at it through God's eyes. See, it's perspective. What I'm getting at is this. When Christ says, you need to carry your cross to be my disciple, he talks about dying to self. Our natural nature is to protect ourselves, to try to comfort ourselves, to try to do the best for ourselves. Our natural nature is to try to control things. Our natural nature is to try to look at stuff and go, okay, how do I benefit in the midst of these situations? When we actually take that and we crucify that to the Lord, as Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And he lives in Christ. So in other words, he lives through Christ in Christ's eyes to be able to turn those things around and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's not that I have to give. I have an opportunity to give. And when I have this opportunity to give, I receive back. And it's incredible joy. It's not that I have to serve, but I get this opportunity to serve. It's not. You look at sin. Sin, we deal with temptation. And the reason why it's temptation is because our natural eyes look at it and go, that would be fun. I would like that. That would be pleasing. That would be gratifying. That's what makes it a temptation. Nobody looks at something and goes, oh, that's really gross. I guess I'm tempted. I better have some. No, they don't. They look at it and they're like, oh, that looks, you know. I mean, Tom Wolfe is the worst at temptation. Every time he comes over to my house, it's always donuts. And I see those donuts, it's like, dang, I don't want a donut, but they look so good. But I mean, even the dark sins are the same way. Even the really nasty stuff is the same way. There's a part of us that wants it. And it's not until we actually turn that over to God and go, well, how does God see this? And in God's eyes, we look at it and go, oh, that's actually disgusting to me. And I don't want to have anything to do with that. And it's not until we actually die to self and start carrying our cross to live like Christ that we're able to actually look at the world around us through Christ's eyes. Because he came to give us life and life more abundantly. See, the dying to self, we think about dying to self as a painful, harmful thing. And in some ways it is, but it isn't because it's so rewarding. Because this dying to self is actually just a rotten old thing of flesh that hangs on us. And when we can finally shed it, when we can finally put it to the side and realize what we've been messing with and have a new life and victory to be able to walk in what God would have us to do, it is a victorious life. It is a life filled with joy and purpose and hope. It is a life more abundantly. It's very different. But it all has to do with our perspective. And so, I want to close you guys with these verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him. Now this is a weird thing. For the joy set before him, He endured the cross. We're going into Passion Week. We know that Christ sits there and says, God, if not my will, your will, not my will. And he struggles. But here Hebrews talks about, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How about these verses? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. That's that perspective. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the presence appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There are going to be times that obedience is painful, but remember that pain is actually the dying of self, because he came to give us life, and life more abundantly, and on the other side is glory. On the other side is victory. On the other side is joy. On the other side is hope and purpose and love and family. Amen? Father God, we just come before you. We thank you that you have gathered us together. I thank you for this body. I thank you for the way that you've been working in their lives. Father, I think about the different individuals that are here and how through the years you have molded us and shaped each and every one of us. You have taken us through different trials and different hard times. And Father, you have done incredible things. And those that have been obedient to you and have stepped out and have sacrificed themselves, Father, I've seen you grow in them in maturity, that you have given them peace and victory in so many different areas of their life. Father, you said that you came to give us life and life more abundantly. So that's what I'm crying out for. I'm crying out that, Father, that you would help us to do the painful thing of sacrificing ourselves to actually be obedient, to be on the other side of that, to really receive the blessing that you have for us, the joy that you have for us, that we'd not put ourselves in a place of trying to live to human commands and human things that would just tie us down and suck us of the joy, but, Father, that you would help us. Help us to see your grace and your love and your acceptance. That obedience would come out of a pure gratification of who what you've done for us already. That we'd have your perspective as we cast our eyes upon Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.